Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Kalula and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.
I just wanted to scare you a little bit.
It was just noise. What was it?
It was like a swarm of bees.
That's the worst. That's not even a good... That's not
all
even,
right. All right. I got a confession. Awful. I got a confession. This is what I meant to hit.
How did you accidentally hit the wrong one? They're like huge circles.
Yeah, but the ones... I'm just a little bit stubborn.
And if you want to scare me, you could have just said Trump when we were on the air.
No, I mean, I was reading and just kind of pushed the wrong button. Okay. That's what you do with these things,
I
man.
Got you.
You know, it's like an accident sometimes. See, like
oh,
that.
God, I hate your soundboard like so that. Much.
Did you like the Arnold Schwarzenegger one better? Come on.
No. I didn't like either one
come
of
on,
them.
Come on. You're a funny man, Sully. I like you.
God damn it! I like my song.
How was your week?
I don't know. It was all right.
You didn't do anything?
Nothing.
Nothing?
Really, no.
You didn't see any movies?
No. Deadpool. I saw Deadpool though before, though.
Yeah, yeah. You told me about it last 2 weeks ago. That's my number one movie.
You still haven't seen it?
I haven't seen it.
What's
wrong
with you?
I was thinking about going tonight. Maybe.
What's wrong with you? Go see Deadpool.
I know. Did you see it at Chinese Grammys?
Yeah. On the IMAX.
Is it still playing there?
I think so.
God, I need to see it there. I'm going to see
it. It's not 3D, though. It's just IMAX.
That's okay. You know what? Sitting in that movie theater, I'm like, it's okay. It don't matter.
Deadpool.
It's all
go
good.
Go see Deadpool.
How's Colton?
It's the one thing going right with America right now.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Oh, he's good. It's good.
How's kindergarten?
He's in first grade. Oh, but I'm sure kindergarten's fine, too. Oh, my God.
Shooting myself in the head.
Yes,
I
you are.
I messed that up. I did the color run, which sounds
oh,
racist.
Oh, yeah. You talked to me about
sounds
that.
Sounds very racist, but it's actually super fun. It's you basically do a 5K. I just walked it, you know, something mellow. And people throw colors at you.
Like powdery.
It's like cornstarch, basically, in like fluorescent colors. And like the cool thing is we did the
so they just run up to you and throw a wad of
well,
powder
no, no,
in your
no,
face.
No. So like... You get colors and you throw it at the people that you're with, obviously, because you have a white shirt on and you want the colors all over you, you know? And then you do the run or the walk, and then there's certain stations where people are just throwing colors, like, out of a barrel.
So you get colored up before you run or walk.
Yeah, because that's the fun. Like, everybody's throwing colors all over the place.
So doesn't sound like fun at all.
Oh, man, it was, though. Dude, you know what? Unexpectedly.
You get hit in the face?
Oh, yeah. Like... Dude, yes, absolutely. Dave, who you met last week, or a couple weeks ago, he actually, I was waiting to get my color packs, and then I turn around and he just had three people just throw huge masses of colors, and I think I had my mouth open, you know, like, it was like, great, we got I just swallowed a whole bunch of that.
And then you're sweating while you're running.
Yeah, you know, but it's you know, you get cooled down by the breeze.
None of this
in San
sounds
Diego.
Fun.
It sounds messy, doesn't it?
Sounds awful.
It was messy, I will say that.
Sounds awful.
But
where does it all go? Who cleans it up?
So, I don't know. I don't ask those questions. It's just in a parking lot, you know, like in San Diego.
Whatever. It's just garbage.
They're doing one in May in Dodger Stadium.
Yeah, I'm sure they're going to have fun doing it. I will not be a part of it.
I'm going to register you for the color run. No, but you know what's
you
cool?
Register me all you want.
So, you get all these colors all over you, all right? And
yeah.
And then at night, there's like they basically light the whole place, so it's kind of like a black light, and so everybody just glows. So it's really kind of cool.
I'm not
like,
eight. I don't give a crap.
Yeah, but
that.
I love that kind of stuff. Like, who does that now? You know? You know?
I don't care.
You know? You know? Come on, you're not that old yet.
Seems dumb.
Maybe you are.
I am.
I don't know.
I'm definitely
you're,
that
you're
old.
Like my kid would enjoy that. I would not, but I'm still gonna play with this lightsaber.
I'll play a lightsaber. Hell yeah, I'll play with
okay,
lightsaber.
Okay, let me ask
That's
you this.
Fun.
Here's a perfect question. Like, what do you do with a lightsaber?
What do you mean?
As a 40-year-old man.
What do you mean what I do with the lightsaber?
Well, what do you do? How do you play? Like, what do you play? Make-believe against
my
who?
Other son. I'm not in my room by myself swinging a lightsaber around. Wow. I have a 6-year-old who has a lightsaber,
okay.
And we
yeah, but
have
clearly
lightsaber
you could
duels.
Probably overpower him with your
well,
lightsaber.
Well, yeah. It's so, the same thing when you wrestle with your kid.
Yeah,
of course,
but do you
I
ever,
can destroy
do you ever,
him.
Do you ever, like, ask a friend that you can actually kind of joust with to come over and play?
No.
So that's it? But before you
had, I live with a six-year-old.
Yeah, but you had the lightsaber before the six-year-old. What did you do with it then? Okay, let's go back to Bachelor Eddie, who's got the lightsaber.
Give me you display them. They're displayed.
But that's no fun.
Properly.
Yeah, but you don't like sit in your room like wong, 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 none of that?
No.
No?
No?
That's not fun?
No.
Well, then why get it? Just to have it up on there?
No, hold it, feel it, see what it feels like.
But it's not real. It's not a real lightsaber.
I don't need to swing it around.
You're like, are we talking about the same thing here? Mm. Dude, I saw a great movie that you should check out.
What?
Called The Good Dinosaur. Have you heard about this movie?
I did. I heard for a Pixar movie, it's very different than most other Pixar movies.
Very different, and it was totally unexpectedly just strangely cool. Like, first of all, I don't want to give anything away, but
I don't care.
I think I went into the movie thinking the kid would talk and the dinosaur would be mute.
No, I got that from the preview.
Yeah, but for some reason, I
they give you that in the preview.
Yeah, but I didn't see enough of the preview, so I think I just assumed that the kid would talk.
From what I understood from the preview, I haven't seen the movie, but the asteroid that killed the dinosaurs misses Earth.
Yes.
And so the dinosaurs evolve instead of the people.
Yeah.
Because the dinosaurs remain dominant.
Right.
But, I got all that from the preview.
Yeah, but I didn't see all that. So I was like watching the movie, gaining all that, and then it was like, oh, okay, I get that. That makes sense.
So, but going in with that knowledge I have now, would I still be as blown away by it?
Yeah. No, totally. You will. That was like a very small factor, but I'm saying like the water. This sounds crazy to say, but the water, like there's like a river, mm-hmm. you know? The water animation is so insanely good. Like that I was like, am I watching like a video take of a river because it's that good, it's that detailed. So there's things about it that you're like, dude, this is crazy good. It's insane. I think animation's gonna cross into the threshold of like looking like just like regular people movies.
Well, I mean, I think it's already probably gotten to that point, but
no, not yet. I mean, but the water is there. The water, they've got the water, but not the people. You know, soon.
I don't need to see animated people.
Did you watch the Oscars?
No, I did not.
You avoided them all.
Didn't watch 1 second of the Oscars.
What did you think? You don't watch it for Chris.
Why'd you ask me what I think? I didn't watch 1 second.
What did you think? I thought you said you watched one second.
I didn't watch any.
So wait a minute though. As a comedian, like I always think, like a comedian's dream is like also to host like a big award show.
No, that seems like a nightmare.
Really?
There could not be a worse audience in the world to try to be funny for than the Oscar audience.
Why? Because you think everyone's
just one, it's like... just nothing but a bunch of judgmental Hollywood people. Two, everyone there is concerned about winning. You think they're present? They're in their head about, like...
Well, that's a small population of the...
And everyone there is like, you have to be careful what you laugh at, because everybody's trying to impress everybody else. It's like super PC. It's like, what? Like, I could not
imagine
a worse audience.
Well, even watching another comedian that's big, like Chris Rock is a big comedian,
yeah.
like host something like that, I would want to see like how he would pull it off.
I saw him at the Comedy Store. He was going around town last week running the jokes.
And what did you think of the jokes?
They were funny jokes.
See, that's the cool thing. You would have seen them live, and then you would have seen what jokes made the final cut.
I didn't care.
Oh, man. That's crazy. You're like,
I don't care about the Oscars. I don't care.
Well, there's some movies that won that were awesome. Spotlight, I was hoping that would win Best Picture.
I didn't think it would. I didn't see it.
Terrific film. Yeah. Terrific movie. I mean, honestly,
I think the only nominated movie I saw Bridge of Spies, which was boring as crap.
You thought Bridge of Spies was boring?
So boring.
Oh, man. You're so crazy, Eddie.
That movie
was
so boring.
Well.
And then I saw Mad Max.
You better hope you never get nominated for an Oscar. Yeah, that was a great movie. That cleaned up. It cleaned up. It got like 5 Oscars.
Yeah.
It got a lot. Louis C.K. even made a joke when he's presenting. Anyways. I think our special guest has arrived. Mr. Matt Westerman, how are you? Oh, our studio audience loves you.
Can you hear me? Oh, no, I can't.
There we go.
He's like, man, people are screaming.
So loud. Yeah.
It's a pretty intense audience.
They're pretty intense, but I can silence them at the, just like obedient. Doing my hand. Yes, obedient. They're very obedient. Kind of. Except Eddie's audience, they get a little rowdy.
We're a little grumpy sometimes.
Eddie's audience gets a little out of hand, you know what I mean? So Matt Westerman, hey. You are a singer-songwriter.
That is me.
I don't even know. Are you from L.A.?
I'm from L.A.
Oh, man. High five, dude. Yeah.
Are you from L.A.?
Eddie's from...
East Coast.
Virginia.
Fuck yeah.
Actually, there's a lot of great musicians that come from Virginia. Actually, I am from L.A., but I was born in Canada, so kind of.
You can never be president.
Well, I know. That's a shame, right?
I know. What a missed opportunity.
I know. Especially right now. It's like, man, should I run? Should I do this?
Wouldn't take much.
Anyways, so let's talk about you. How did you get into music? What was the thing that, you know, drove you to wanting to be a songwriter?
That's a great question. It depends how far back we want to go.
Oh, let's go back. Let's rock the cradle, man.
It all started when I was 3. No. Well, I used to love Phantom of the Opera, and I used to sing that along when I was a little kid. But
so you're an Andrew Lloyd Webber fan.
Was that?
Yeah, that's who wrote Phantom of the Opera.
Man, obviously. You know,
to me, it was all just beautiful. He's obviously music. I was Lloyd 3. Webber. I wasn't like.
Who's that? That's okay. Phantom of the Opera?
What's that again?
You don't know Andrew Lloyd Webber, do you, Eddie?
I don't know him personally. I thought that was like a new version. I know he did Phantom of the Opera.
Okay. Well, you're a step ahead of Matt right now.
I should know that.
Point for Eddie.
Yay.
That's good. I'm glad I had this moment so I can do a little research.
Well, we got to hit rock bottom.
So you were singing Phantom of the Opera 3.
Anyway, so then a couple years passed. I was 12. And I started taking music producing lessons from a rapper.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Dude.
What's a music producing lesson entail?
That's a good question. He was a rapper, music producer, and I was just so into rap at the time. I was a
what rap? What time was this?
This
time
was
frame?
The Puff Daddy era.
Oh, so early like 2000s.
Early
2000s.
Late 90s.
Late 90s. Yeah. 2000s. Mace was my man. Oh, I was dude, Mace for Halloween.
What happened to him?
Well, he became a priest.
He became a priest?
A pastor or something.
Oh, yeah. I've heard that.
And then he came back. Welcome back. Welcome back.
Yeah, that's right.
Great tune.
Right. Yeah, that's a great tune.
If you need a pick-me-up, Welcome Back Mace is the jam.
That's the jam. See, Eddie, you should be taking notes, man.
I don't know anything about rap.
Not a thing?
Dude, LL Cool J, you know what? Beastie Boys.
Try and spit some verse real quick.
LL Cool J. Wow, wow, wow. I know Snoop Dogg.
You're a terrible rapper.
Old Snoop Dogg.
It's refusing to rap.
Old Snoop Dogg.
Old Snoop Dogg. The old dog. The old Snoop.
Doggy style.
Doggy style.
Doggy style Snoop.
Yeah, that's
I know
what
that.
You know. You know doggy style.
Anything after that, I'm kind of...
It's kind of all a blur.
It's
kind of all a blur.
All right.
Fair enough.
Everything
too much anger. Too much anger after that.
All right, so you took some production classes with this guy.
Yeah, and it was really technical, and I think that kind of turned me off as a 12-year-old. Because it was like audio, like, MIDI,
dude,
and
crazy.
Yeah, exactly. So I started playing piano, and that was more fun because it was a live thing.
Right.
And then I started to.
Seems the opposite of rap producing.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I kind of went a different direction.
I'm done with this rap thing. Yeah. I'm going to play piano.
Well, piano. No, not true. Because piano, keyboard. I was thinking I could like make cool beats if I knew how to play piano better.
Aww.
But then I became a high school angsty teenager. And I started listening to Dave Matthews, and I was like, oh, my God.
Nice.
I have nothing, to learn.
Nothing screams angst like Dave Matthews.
Right, that's true. Not.
Well, he was trying to go in a more positive direction.
Okay, I'm just confused. Confused was
well,
maybe
Well, dude,
a,
you know what? You know,
I was
for
a
me,
lost
that
teenager.
Makes sense.
For me, I was like to say, I was like, you know what? I need something that makes me kind of like happy.
It was different.
No, that makes sense.
Yeah, but. And so like you know, you're just like lost and confused as a teenager because all teenagers are kind of lost and confused.
That's the game.
And then you find something that makes you go, dude, this is there's something cool and spiritual or uplifting, or this is okay. Like, you know, it speaks
it's
some
home.
So
like
there is
the word angst
okay.
Through me.
God.
The word angst line. Through
it's
me.
It's gone, Eddie. You're gone, man.
The word angst through me.
Okay, all right.
That's
okay.
All.
So you got into Dave Matthews. What album? Was it Under the Table and Dreaming? Was it Crash?
See, I had a friend who like just was – he showed me all the live albums first.
Oh.
So I was like – my first – I can tell you my favorite first song.
Tell me your favorite first song.
The Stone.
Oh, that's a great tune.
I was like, can
great
I play
tune.
That? Is that even playable? Like, I it didn't want to learn how to play guitar. I wanted to learn how to play Dave Matthews' song.
That's right. Dude, that's what got me to play guitar.
Two-step.
It's a great song, too, man.
The Dreaming Tree all used to tear me up a little bit.
Dude, all those songs, they have something, you know? Eddie's like, oh, man. And he's from Virginia.
I know. He used to tour colleges when I was in college.
That's probably why you turned up. You're like, this is a college, man. They'll never go anywhere.
They were college, man. They were college, man. They were like the... You know, what Hootie was to the South, he was to, like, that...
You probably saw him as Hootie, right?
Yeah, pretty much. Like, at that time, they were, like, on par with each other. Hootie and
you know what the funny thing
Dave
is?
Matthews.
I was really turned off from Dave Matthews Band initially because I was like, this sounds like Hootie and the Blowfish.
Oh, yeah,
I
didn't like them at first either.
Yeah, I was like, this... I don't
Hootie was actually bigger than them.
Yeah, yeah, and they were, like, following in their shadow.
Yeah, everybody was like, oh, this is just another Hootie.
And I hated Hootie, you know?
Because they were just a college band that got big.
Totally. But then, you know, the song for me was Satellite.
Ah.
Because I was coming from classical music, and I'm like, here's this musician incorporating a figure that's a classical figure, like a Bach fugue. And then you hear saxophone, you hear these great sounding drums, and I was like, oh my God, who is this? You know what I mean? Like, it changed the
So Satellite is what changed everything for you?
Yeah, for me, it was. Yeah, it was that song. And then I just listened more and more, and he was like, the lyrics were... He has really dark lyrics, you know, about... He's had a lot of death come into his in his world. He's had drug addictions.
Show your world to me. That's totally puss. That's totally puss.
Well, needle to the vein. Take
lift up your
needle,
was it? Lift up your skirt a little more and show your world to me.
That's he's a stalker.
That's total
show
puss.
Show your world to me, Eddie.
It's total puss. What a purr. That's such a purr of line.
Yeah, it's a purr song.
It is. Well, it's, that's what it's beautiful. About.
I know.
Well, yeah.
But girls dig it because it's a song. If a guy went up and said that to them, that's like instant mace in the face.
Well, such is the
mace,
magic.
You, dude, you brought mace back, dude.
See? Welcome
dude, back.
High five. God,
no, that's not a five. That's not a high five.
Yeah, that is a high five to what me. Is... Hey, how you doing? Mm. Hey. Dude, that was good, Eddie. You're quick. You're sharp.
I'm sharp.
You're sharp. You're not like a dull knife. You're sharp. It's good. Anyway, so you got into Dave Matthews, The Stone, Two Step.
Yes.
All those songs.
Lovely.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Times. Then I went to a concert, and then I started listening to other music. So that was rap, and then it was Dave Matthews, and then it was the blossoming of all. Then I like classic music. Then I tried to learn a bunch of stuff. Then I played a little. I wrote a little bit. And
so you didn't pick up guitar then?
No, I did pick up guitar.
Okay,
but seems like he went. Seems like he went backwards. Like you actually started in rap and then ended with like classical.
Hey, that's how music works. Sometimes it's like we're gonna bring.
But it seems like the backward. It seems like the backwards way of going.
The backwoods.
Like most people start at that end of music and then eventually
I'm
get.
Not most people.
I know you're
Eddie, leave him alone.
That's why you have
it's just unique. That's all I'm saying.
Quit bullying him. He can do whatever he
How
wants.
Am I bullying?
Okay?
Stop looking for a stupid sound
no,
effect.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
Kind of. No.
Oh, my God.
Lots of
could be in the fun.
Concentrate on the conversation and stop worrying about stupid.
All right. So you were, and you played, started playing guitar then.
Yes.
Did it speak to you right away?
Yeah. It was amazing.
Like, you know, the funny thing is I played piano and it didn't speak to me right
Same.
Away.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, this is cool, but yeah, maybe there's some other stuff. And it was learning to play guitar that was like, this makes me feel cool. I like this. It's something that you can kind of grasp right away, but it's like, I always feel like guitar is the easiest instrument to start on. Mm. It's the hardest instrument to master because you can change the tunings of it and it's just a different instrument altogether.
Yeah.
Anyway, so you got into that. What was the first song that you learned to play?
I was probably trying to play The Stone, but it probably was unsuccessful.
That's okay. Hey, dude, I tried with many songs that didn't sound like that.
I don't know what the first song I learned to play was. I don't remember.
I remember the first song was called Alone by Blues Traveler. That was the first song I ever
thought
remember.
You were going to say Ben Harper.
Nope, wasn't Ben Harper. It was three chords, and I remember my friend of mine said, hey, you need to learn this because it's only three chords. I'm like, oh my God, show me. And then it just opened up, you know, a whole world of songs that were just written on three chords. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So when did you like start writing?
That's a good question. I took like a little music hiatus in college, and I was just telling Eddie, I actually did stand-up comedy.
What?
You just stand-up comic.
Dude!
For like a year.
Seriously? You guys have a bond.
So awful.
My other
Dude,
world.
That was pretty good. Come on.
I know, that's
no,
really original.
Wasn't good at all.
Come on, it's pretty good, a little bit. Anyways, so did you perform around town?
I went to school at UC Santa Barbara.
Okay.
And I was on a stand-up comedy team.
Yeah, this is weird. They had a team of people that went around as a team of stand-up comedians.
Why don't you do that? That sounds
awesome.
Because
that's unheard of. I've never heard of anything like that.
What happened? What, did you have a name?
No, we were the UCSB Gauchos.
Well, there's your name. Was
and you guys performed at other colleges? Or
yeah,
did
we
do...
played UCLA. We had like... We had nights, like Saturday night, we got the performance hall, and we do like four people would play, and then like they'd have like a headliner dude.
So was it somebody from the team?
The headliner?
Yeah.
No. The headliner was like usually a
like a big comic?
One time it was, you know, the show Workaholics?
Yeah.
Adam Devine?
Yeah.
He did it before he broke that show.
Wow.
So that was cool. He was really funny. I was like, oh my God, this guy's really funny. If he doesn't make it, like...
You're like, this guy's really
there's
good.
There's no chance.
He's got to do it.
But he did make it.
You should have been like, dude, you should join our team, man. You should have recruited him.
Yeah. We were cheating.
Yeah. You know the cool thing is about having a comedy team? If there's no other comedy team, you are the undefeated comedy team. You officially
true.
Get
that's
a
true.
Title, right?
We never
true.
Lost.
Can you're I the be greatest.
Can I be on
you're the greatest
team?
Comedy team of all time.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So what happened? What made it break up?
I graduated, and then I was like, people were
you
always,
got tired of this.
Yeah. Well, stand-up comedy is hard.
It is hard.
To go up there and just like, you have to talk. I always looked at it as you had to have a conversation with someone, and they could not talk back to you. They could just laugh. So it'd be like just having a conversation with someone, but they couldn't respond to you.
Eddie, how do you feel about that? I never thought about that.
Well, Stand-up comedy is in, to me, it's never.
And like, we're all out of time. No.
That's a very personal approach or view on stand-up comedy. Like having a conversation with one person. Like I don't ever look at it when I'm when I'm performing. I don't look at it as one person. I look at it as like a group. So it's different. Like I don't want them to respond.
Done it in like years.
Well, it's like you're a tour guide. It's like I've got all the information, and your response, your payment to me is by laughing, essentially.
Right? Yeah. Something like that.
Yeah, I get that. All right. So that did it turn you off from performing?
No. It was fun. It was exhilarating. When it was going well, it's really fun. But I was also at that time I was writing a lot. This is when I was really just into comedy and I was doing script writing and all that fun stuff. And I stand up comedy went hand in hand. I graduated college. I got a job as a staff writer. So I was I was getting paid to write scripts.
That's amazing. Cool.
But
for TV shows or comedy acts or what?
For a production company run by Emil Hirsch's dad.
Emil Hirsch, that's the guy from the movie that you showed me the Pearl Jam song for. What's that name?
What?
Yeah,
The Girl Next Door.
Girl Next Door. Great.
Into the Wild is the movie I was thinking of, but he's the guy from
The Girl Next Door.
Great film. Yeah. I totally just crossed. Great films. He's a great actor. Great actor.
So that was cool, but then I'm sure production. I don't think anything got picked up, and I just ended up kind of like slowly was like, oh, we're not going to bring you in anymore. Nothing ever happened. So
you're like bastards.
At that point, I was like 22, and I was like, I want to do songwriting. Like I'm going to go back to that because that's where my heart was at the time.
It's crazy that you you went on this music path, and then you totally took a different path, and they came around to it.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That's cool. I never say it out loud, so it's weird because I'm like hearing it.
No, but that's fascinating to me because, like, you know, everybody has their own path when it comes to art. You know what I mean? I don't know if you initially wanted to be a comedian.
I have more of a ditch than a path. It's like a hole.
This guy! He's here all night.
It's more of a deep hole.
But it's cool that everybody kind of finds their own path with art, absolutely. You know, and expressing and feeling like, okay, this is where I want to go. And you left music to do comedy, and you may be a musician in the making.
No,
that's the moral of the story.
That is not happening.
Well, let's get to a song. Now, let's see. What are you going to play for us first?
I'll play for you the song I just released.
Awesome. What's it called?
It's called Don't Give Up On You.
Don't Give Up On You. Hold on. I'm going to set it up. Don't Give Up On You. Matt Westerfeld. You ready?
Is this good?
This is good, yeah.
My friend, you seem tired, a little uninspired, stuck out of tune. You keep dragging your ass through the mud of your past. Well, of course you feel blue. No, it's hard when the pain of your scars keeps seeping through. Please disregard them, then you could see yourself the way I do. Don't give up on you now. May not be clear how you're gonna break out, I swear on it. Don't give up on you yet. You're gonna pull through wet. Yeah, it's a sure bet, I'm telling ya. My friend, you say lately you've been feeling daily all stuck in your head. But to me you sound crazy, 'cause you always amaze me when you let loose instead. I know it's rough, 'cause you just spend enough time feeling down. But if you start looking up, you'll feel all this love and we'll turn things around. Don't give up on you now. It may not be clear how you're gonna break out, I swear on it. Don't give up on you yet. You're gonna pull through wet. Yeah, it's a short bet, I'm telling you. Feel it, let go of all your faults. You don't need them. Just let your love stand tall. See, I hope you're believing, 'cause you're here for a reason. Don't give up on you now. It may not be clear how you're gonna break out. Don't give up on you yet. You're gonna pull through wet. Yeah, it's a sure bet. Oh yeah, yeah. Don't give up on you now. It may not be clear how. It may not be clear how. Nah, 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 nah. Don't you give up. Don't you give up. Don't you give up. Nah, nah. Don't you give up. Don't you give up. Don't you give up. Nah, nah. Nah.
Yeah! Oh, our studio audience loved it. Nice little fade on the studio.
It was nice. It was a good fade.
Dude, so tell me what inspired that song.
It sounds like it's from one person to another person. And that's the intent of it. But it's a song I kind of wrote to my... I wrote a lot of songs that are, like, psychological things. I wrote it as myself to myself. Like, the creative,
I do that a lot. Like, it's funny that you say that. Because yeah. I think that's, like, the therapeutic side of writing songs.
Absolutely.
Where it's like, I'm feeling this way, but I want to feel this way. Let this person talk through me to get me out of this.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Maybe comedy does that too, Eddie.
The performance of comedy does, I think.
Not the writing.
I don't think you can write a joke about yourself talking to yourself about something else. I don't think that works.
Maybe you should try
But being in the moment, being able to be somebody else on stage, I think that's where you get that from.
That's where you get the... So you get the feeling...
you can be somebody else on stage. You can be that other, you can be that part of you that you want to be on stage.
You could be that funny guy.
But you really can't write a joke.
But you can be. But you're that funny guy all the time.
No,
you're really not. He's a funny guy. Anyways, how did you, like, discover that you could do that when you were, like, focused on stand-up comedy?
I stopped doing when I stopped,
yeah, but
and I started
you never tried lessons. Doing that? Like,
I never wrote songs. I had a rap song written for me when I was 12. But other than that...
But you never tried... did you try singing, like, a Dave Matthews song
not,
or other?
You know, I did a couple, like, coffee houses in high school.
So you did some kind of performance. So you discovered, like, I can do something.
Yeah.
Sing,
but I didn't start writing songs till after college.
No, but it's even just understanding the gift, I think. That, to me, is like a fascinating thing. It's like, how does somebody discover that they have the gift in them and explore it and, you know, nurture it? Because that's something I think as artists we all completely do over and over and over again throughout the journey. You know what I mean? So it's kind of cool that you took this other road and then... You can do that just like that. You know what I mean? It's like you totally shifted gears and it still sounds amazing, you know?
Thanks.
So, great song. I loved it.
Thank you.
Very cool.
So, yeah.
I love the groove.
Thank you.
I can tell your influences. It's cool. It's very cool. Very cool.
Thank you.
So, tell me, do you perform around town? Like,
yeah, I just had a single release show for that song.
Where at?
At this place called Bar Lubitsch.
Oh, I love Bar Lubitsch.
Yeah,
I've done Bar Lubitsch.
Well, there's a big debate. Is it Lubitsch or Lubitsch?
I call it something different every time. Lubbock, Lubick, Lubick.
Yeah, Lubitsch, exactly.
Lubitsch.
I've heard it every which way.
It's their fault. They shouldn't have named it then.
Well, they probably love that they're getting free advertising right now. Free advertising for Bar.
So for your single show, did you just keep singing the one song over and over?
Yeah, I played it. I played it 8 times in a row.
Did you?
No.
I was like, wow, really? That's successful.
It was like it was experimental.
So did you play it live or did you play it on the record?
I played it live.
So the single release, releases...
Oh, no, okay, I see what you're saying. I just wanted to have an event for the single release. The single released into the internet as a recorded thing.
Okay, so that was your main distribution. You're like, here, and it's then in the virtual
Yes, and then I had a show to celebrate said release.
That's nice.
Yeah.
I like that you did a single release. I've never heard of that.
Yeah, people, my friend said that she'd never heard of it either, and it's I was amazing. Like, that's not a thing. Like, well, why not?
You just made it a thing.
People have shows for no reason. Why not have it for at least a little bit of a reason?
Well, it's a great, it's
LA's
great,
full of shows for no reason.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's nice to let us, you know, like album releases you hear about.
Honestly,
but a single release is pretty cool.
I needed like a deadline because I could have just gone on tweaking it a little bit here and there, and I was like, all right, Matt, I'm just going to set a show a month from now. I have to put it out. It's good enough.
It's good to do that as an artist.
So I set it as a challenge.
Don't you think, Eddie, do you ever do that as a writer? Like, where you're like, I need to write this by this amount of time, and that's it.
Yeah, you just have to make sure you hold on to the deadline. Yeah. You said. That's the other tricky part.
It can get stressful.
It's easier to set the deadline than keep the deadline.
That's true. You're a little drunk.
So how many songs do you have recorded completely?
I have 3 songs recorded completely. I have 1 song we're working on now, which will be the 4-song EP.
Nice. What's it called?
The EP?
Yeah, what's the EP?
I don't know. I have it's a song. Title. I don't
it's
know.
Good title, is that what you said?
Bar Lubitsk. I'm going to call it Bar Lubitsk.
I like it. I think you should call it I Don't Know.
Whatever.
I don't know.
I don't want to.
Well, let's hear something that you're going to release on the EP. What are you going to intro for us?
All right. Here's another song. I'm not going to play the song I just played. But you can find that on...
Sound like your single release party.
Yeah. Now we're going to hear that song 8 times in a row.
What do you think, you're a comedian, Eddie? Come on. I try.
You could just play number 2. It's called She's More.
She's More.
She's More.
Here we go.
I'm sleeping in my dreams while she's up drinking coffee beans. She comes to wake me up, offers me a great big cup. I say sure, but I always feel awake. You see my heart, it knows it don't need pots or pans of gold. Well, cause I found a rose, oh, it's so true. And I like the way the sun shines on her too. So I hold on tight, her love, it lights up my whole life. She's more, more than a dream girl. She's my everything and more. Her love's all I need. It changed my life. You see, my past is filled with icy winds that give me chills. I used to try to run, but now it's her I'm thinking of while with you. Cause she makes me feel so brand new. So I hold on tight. Her love, it lights up my whole life. She's more. She's my everything and more. Her love's all I need. It changed my life. Oh, 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 oh,
Man, that was awesome. Honestly, I don't say this about a lot of songs, but I didn't want it to end.
Oh, my God. Thanks.
It was so, like, it was very, colorful.
It was relaxing.
Yeah, that's what I was feeling, too. It's just like, I could hear that chorus go on forever.
Yeah, you just kind of sit there and just let it play for
an
hour.
Yeah, and I was like, no, 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 no. It was like slipping through my fingers.
Uh-huh.
Like, no, 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 no.
So, loop it.
You guys are too kind.
Yeah, just play it
again. My next show, my next single release
show. Yeah, this should be
one song.
Is that
one
your second song. Single? Is that gonna be? It should be. It should be. No, right? It should be. Say it with me. No,
it will be.
I
really like that song.
Dude, it's a great song.
Thanks, man.
And, you know, you got like a very, like, you know the artist Aeroplane or the band Aeroplane? Plain White Tees.
I know the Plain White Tees.
There's another artist named, I want to say it's Aeroplane. They had a huge
Aeroplane Under the Sea?
No.
Is that the song?
I want to say it's Aeroplane and the song's called Photograph or something like that.
Maybe. Ed Sheeran?
No, it's not that. No, it's not Ed Sheeran. It's I'll find out the name and
let me know.
I'll
Aeroplane.
Yeah, Aeroplane.
I've heard of an Aeroplane.
But it's killing, man. It's, I mean, you got like that sound and it's just... Dude, the colors on the electric guitar too, the fingerstyle stuff.
I saw you post one time that, you know who that was? It was the pedal steel player.
Wait, who?
That you, I saw you
really?
Post one time on about him, Marty Rifkin.
Dude, I love Marty.
My producer happened to like go way back with him.
Dude,
and hit him up.
Marty Rifkin, yeah. Dude, he played two songs on Music of the New Day. Marty Rifkin's like one of the best musicians
I've
ever come. He's played like on with Tom Petty.
I know.
Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah.
Like he is a bad mamma
jamma. Watching him play, like that's maybe my favorite part of recording is just watching these like amazing.
Did you get to see the
I
session?
I got to watch him.
Yeah,
do it.
Dude. And he's like a wizard with it.
I was just
it's like. Yeah, I remember videotaping it and it was just like, he said the funniest thing to me because I was just sitting there like, God, this is so good. He's like, well, once you get over the puppy love phase of this sound of this instrument, let me know what parts you end up going with, you know? Because his takes were like these lush, beautiful, like motifs, you know? They were just so beautiful. So,
yes.
Man, Marty, big shout out.
Come through.
Coming through big time. All right, so... Where can people find your music? Let's talk about that.
Well, my name is Matt Westerman.
Spell it out, because people are dumb.
M-A.
Which they proved tonight.
All right.
Hey, what are you trying to say?
Me?
He's referring to the election.
Okay. Right.
Talking about politics.
Donald, like Donald Trump.
Like, talking about politics.
Let's not go there.
That's a different radio station.
That's a different
Next
show
door.
Altogether.
It's definitely a different show. Definitely a different show.
All right, so give us your website.
MattWesterman.com. Spelled Matt, like most Matts, M-A-T-T. Westerman, phonetically, West, WESTERMAN.com.
Simple.
Or go to Facebook, Spotify, SoundCloud, wherever you're at.
Is there a website? Is there a .com?
MattWesterman.com.
Yeah, he said that. Didn't you? You weren't...
No, I was too busy thinking how to spell Westerman.
Well, let's, what are you going to play?
Just trust yourself.
Before we get to your next performance,
I would do another one.
Like, tell us some of your biggest influences as writers. I know Dave Matthews, but who else?
Oh, man. Dave Matthews. We already talked about him in
course,
detail. I don't want to get creepy like he does in Crash.
Mm.
I mean, I like all those guys. Jack Johnson.
Yeah.
I loved Outkast. That was my rap group, by the way.
They're a great rap group.
So original. Under 3000. Like if I had a Mount Rushmore of people of entertainers, he'd probably be on there.
Him and Eddie.
Him and Eddie. Eddie just
from
made
from
it today.
Iron Maiden.
I needed another face
from
on
Iron
there. So rap that I also love. I don't know anything they've ever said in English, but Sigur Rós.
Oh yeah.
Like when I recorded this, I'm like, just give me some beautiful ambiente stuff in the Sigur Rós.
Ambiente, I like that word.
Ambiente.
Well, they sing in a dialect they just made up. Do you know this band Sigur Rós?
No.
They're from Iceland, and
they're so cool.
They bow the guitar stuff, so there's a real lush music. But they sing in a language that doesn't exist. They just made up the language because they want you to feel things instead of like thinking about words.
But is it an actual language that they assigned meanings to each word, or is it just sounds?
No, it's just sounds.
They're just talking gibberish.
Yeah,
it's songs and gibberish.
And you want to think, like, oh gibberish, man, they must be talking in Icelandic, but they're not. They're just totally.
They're just making sounds.
It's totally like meh.
So it's not a language. It's just sounds.
It sounds.
Okay.
But
you said language.
Like, it sounds like
had.
A language.
It sounds like a language.
I thought they had an alphabet.
Well,
that they made.
Maybe
up.
They do. I don't know.
Well, that's way more involved if they create a whole language than sing songs out of.
Well, that's
Lord of the Rings.
Why don't you give him some more homework? Jesus.
Klingon or something.
Do you know any Klingon?
You said language. I just assumed that.
I
was like, wow, that's
I wanted to do
that's
a
pretty
song
crazy
with
for
you
a band to do that.
Klingon.
I don't know. Eddie's going to be a rapper or a Klingoner. Ooh,
Klingon rapper.
Oh my God, dude. That's your niche, dude.
We're transforming Eddie into a singer today.
I like it. When can we make this transformation?
I'm not.
Along with a sex change. I'm sorry. Anyways, all right. So we're going to talk more about your music. So you're doing this EP. What has been like one of the biggest obstacles or gratifying things of you recording your first record?
Gratifying is hearing it done is amazing. And challenging, it's challenging, you know, to record. Yeah. You hear yourself really with a mic like that. Like, I've done so many open mics, and there's so many, like, you know, like, crappy sound quality situations.
Yeah,
and to have it, like, pristine.
Yeah, no, the mix, everything sounds great.
I felt like I really had to step up my overall game.
You know what the crazy thing is? I'm going to give you a little, from an old man.
Yeah, please, give me.
The crazy thing about music is you record it, you make it, you finish it. Mm-hmm. 6 years later, 5 years later, 3 months later, 10 years later, they all sound different. Mm. The same recording, you now hear differently.
Yeah.
In those different stages of your life, depending on what you're going through, what you've learned, what you've kind of lived through, that's the most amazing part of the whole thing. It's like there's little things that you're like, oh, little emotional things that you're like, ooh, I didn't feel that. Like, I hear it now, you know, mm-hmm. like strange. Music's one of those living, breathing art forms that, like, I think it hits you in different ways. It's like kind of like paintings. I think paintings do the same thing. They kind of like living, breathing.
Yeah.
Sorry, Eddie, not comedy. It's not on there.
No, comedy.
Just kidding. Changes. Well, let's get to one of your, what are you going to play us next? Grab your guitar already. We need you to play. What's the song you're going to play?
Okay.
Come on now. Don't hold out.
This is a song with a title that... This song is called One Fine Day. And usually you think of One Fine Day as a day in the future. But
it's not. Damn, I missed. Almost.
That's Kobe.
Our listeners know I do take a shot with my empty water bottle.
I used to say Kobe when I made it, but now I say Kobe when I miss it.
Oh, that sucks.
I know, it's kind of mean. I don't actually. I don't know why I was so mean to Kobe just now.
That was
Steph Curry.
Kobe will be fine.
He'll be okay.
Kobe will be okay.
I still love you, Kobe.
He'll pull through.
I know you're out there.
All right, so One Fine Day. Let's hear it.
All right, let me just double check something.
We use the same guitar picks, just so you know.
They're the best.
They are the best.
The Doom Loops. Got a little secret, find it hard to keep. See, things are gonna go my way. How I'm not so sure when it's all been done before. But can dreams go to waste? See, all I know, I feel whole when I listen to what's in my soul. So here's the plan, I'm gonna take a stand and be who I want to. It's one fine day to turn it all around. One fine day to live my life out loud. And I know that I'm not gonna hold back. Things are gonna go my way. One fine day, yeah, it's one fine day. I don't need much sleep, cause now I see my dreams with my eyes open out of my bed. No reason to be scared, I see love is everywhere when I get out of my head. And all I know, and all I feel, make up this crazy world I call real. So here's the plan, I'm gonna take a stand and be who I want to. Yeah, it's one fine day to turn it all around. One fine day to live my life out loud. And I know that I'm not gonna hold back. Things are gonna go my way. One fine day, yeah, it's one fine day. And I'm not gonna wait around, cause life is happening right now. No, I'm not gonna wait and see. Today I will be who I want to be, who I want to be. one fine day to turn it all around. One fine day to live my life out loud. And I know that I'm not gonna hold back. Things are gonna go my way. One fine day, yeah, it's one fine day. Hey, hey. Today I'm gonna find my way. I got so much to say, I'm buzzing. Today I'm gonna find my way. I got no time to waste, I'm jumping. One fine day, yeah, it's one fine day.
Yeah! Very nice. Once again, for all our listeners, where can people find you? MattWesterman.com. Spell it out, because people
Matt,
are dumb.
MattWesterman.com.
Yeah, yeah. Buy his new EP. Buy all of his
buy
singles.
Everything.
You can be at all of his singles release
come
parties.
To all the singles release
come
parties.
To all of them. Why not? Right?
Yeah.
And for all our listeners, I will be singing the national anthem with my college a cappella group. All
right.
At the Lakers game. Speaking of Kobe. Next Tuesday night.
No
so,
way.
Yeah, pretty cool.
So really? Don't come here.
Pretty, so I
don't
won't
tune
be here.
Into this.
But Eddie will be here with a mystery guest and...
host, maybe. We'll host. See. I don't know what's going to happen.
Thanks, Eddie. You really came through for me. On behalf of Eddie Pence, I'm Nikki Carulla. We are Wake Up Hollywood. We'll see you next week.
Good night.